Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Iraqis tuned in for a late-night television comedy instead got some unexpected and sobering war talk from their leader. Bert Quint reports from Baghdad.
In a sudden midnight message, Iraq's president, Saddam Hussein, told his people to prepare for the worst of wars. As he put it, the mother and father of all battles. Since the crisis began, Saddam Hussein has been talking tough, but always expressing the hope of peace. Now he has appeared on television with the strongest statement yet and no mention of peace. He vowed no retreat from Kuwait and threatened to destroy all the oil fields of the Gulf. Bert Quint, CBS News, Baghdad.
Today, Iraq's information minister said while Baghdad won't start a war, it would make the U.S. pay dearly if attacked.
We are very happy to meet America here. We won this battle. We are very happy and proud to fight America in the name of all Muslim and Arab in the desert.
Iraq's tough talk was heard loud and clear in Saudi Arabia, as Jesse Shulman reports.
Saudi diplomats say the latest Iraqi statement is nothing new, and they say it shows Saddam Hussein continues to misread the intentions of the forces against him. Those intentions, they say, are not to recapture Kuwait, but to destroy him and force him from power. Officials say the key factors in the equation are the political effects of the planned air embargo and the continuing international buildup of forces. The air embargo calls on nations to close their airspace to uninspected Iraqi flights, said one Saudi official. Countries either do it or they don't, and that will isolate what he terms the waverers. But he also said the air embargo was the last diplomatic move possible, saying after that there was no other solution than committing the growing international forces here to battle. Jesse Shulman for CBS News, Saudi Arabia.
Iraq claims two unidentified warplanes from Saudi Arabia flew up to 6 miles into Iraqi airspace yesterday before turning back. 500 French soldiers sailed from Toulon this morning on a car ferry, the first of some 4,200 headed for Saudi Arabia. And for 3 days now, Egyptian ships have been taking Syrian troops and tanks to Saudi Arabia. No UN Security Council vote is expected today on that draft resolution extending the Iraq trade embargo from the seas to the skies. Correspondent Betsy Aaron reports from Amman that an air blockade might hurt would-be refugees.
Right now, the only commercial air link between Iraq and the outside world is to and from Amman. If, as expected, the United Nations votes to cut off all passenger and cargo flights to and from Iraq, this link could be broken. It is a prospect that doesn't worry an Iraqi who flew into Amman on Iraqi Airlines yesterday.
Nobody is worried, really, because they're not taking it seriously. We'll always go around to our neighboring countries, and from there we will catch planes. This will never succeed.
The air embargo is really aimed at closing the loopholes in the already existing economic embargo. But there will be exceptions to it. Medicine and so-called humanitarian cargo could still get through. Just yesterday, a Dutch plane landed here in Amman, dropped off foodstuffs for refugees, and then flew on to Baghdad with a shipment of baby formula and dry milk. But there is a question for the UN. If the air embargo passes, will baby formula and other items like it be considered humanitarian aid? And then an even bigger question. How will this latest move against Iraq be enforced? Betsy Aaron, CBS News, Amman.
Tomorrow, the last U.S. chartered evacuation flight is due to leave Baghdad. One of the latest Kuwaiti refugees to make it to Bahrain tells of the hanging of a Kuwaiti by Iraqi troops who found him sheltering an American. Soviet lawmakers are moving slowly toward a vote dismantling 70 years of communist command economy. Correspondent Barry Peterson reports.
This is supposed to be decision day, the Soviet parliament deciding what new economic reform plan it will impose on the country. But it's turning into debate day. Dozens of parliament members want to speak, many against the radical plan Mikhail Gorbachev favors that would bring the free market to Moscow and the rest of the country at lightning speed. The moderates are rallying around the prime minister, who wants a slower approach. But he's demanding some decision today. We're out of time, he told the parliament. It's a dilemma. Men and women raised on Lenin for decades, knowing in their minds they must move toward a free market system, but somehow in their hearts, unable to vote to rapidly abandon communism and install capitalism. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
Russian Republic President Boris Yeltsin escaped injury in an auto accident this morning as he was being driven to Parliament in Moscow. He continued in another car. Will U.S. sailors and airmen soon be homeless in the Philippines? That's the continuing issue in Manila, as Maggie Sterner reports.
There is still much wrangling that needs to be done before U.S. and Philippine negotiators come up with a plan for dealing with U.S. bases in the Philippines. The issues appear to be time and access. How much time can the U.S. get here, and how many troops can it keep here? The first round of talks ended with no resolutions. The Philippines said it wants control of Clark Air Base as soon as possible. The U.S. proposed a troop phase down at Subic. Neither side could agree on what happens to the four other smaller facilities. U.S. spokesman Stanley Schrager keeps emphasizing U.S. desires for continued military presence.
We continue to believe that a security relationship of some kind over the next years is in the interests of both of our countries.
It's clear Americans want to take as long as possible to phase down troops and to use as much of the bases as they can for as long as they want. The next round of talks is scheduled for October. Maggie Sterner for CBS News, Manila.
A Romanian military court has convicted Nicu Ceaușescu, younger son of the executed dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu, of murder charges. The reputed playboy and gambler was immediately sentenced to 20 years in prison for the use of deadly force against opponents of his father's regime. South Africa's Winnie Mandela, who faces kidnap and assault charges in the case of a black youth found murdered last year, reportedly has been linked to two more cases of violence. The British paper The Independent says a Mandela co-defendant accuses her of authorizing the murders of two other youths who, as it turned out, were beaten but not killed. For nearly a year, radioactive water may have leaked undetected from a plant at the Hanford, Washington nuclear reservation. That's the report from the federal contractor, Westinghouse Hanford Company, through spokeswoman Marilyn Druby.
Only this summer was a leak noticed in an area where electrical equipment and piping equipment and so forth was failed. Since then, it's been calculated that there has been radioactivity in that water, and it probably did escape to the environment at some point.
Druby says the leak found in July did not endanger plant workers or the public. Convicted killer James William Hamblin, who last year said it would be spiffy to die in Florida's electric chair, did so this morning. The 61-year-old Hamblin was executed for murdering the woman owner of a Jacksonville lingerie shop during a 1984 robbery attempt. The dollar is steady overseas. London gold is up $2.35 an ounce at 389.10. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off a point at 2517.34. Big board volume, 60,300,000 shares. It's 7:10.